supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Want to get in on the sleuthing to find nearby failed stars and exoplanets? Prerequisites? A sharp eye and persistence. Details on this episode of Sky Talk with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, you really don't need a hunting license?
No, in fact, you don't need a hunting license. You might need a little certification, but you can actually get that from the project itself. This is a citizen science data mining project that's found at the website Zooniverse. And this is a website that compiles a batch of different kinds of citizen science projects. This particular one in astronomy asks people to help dig through an enormous pile of data that's been collected looking around the universe, or this galaxy in particular, looking for failed stars and other exoplanets. This is a situation where the acuity of the human eye works much better to separate the signal from the noise, the wheat from the chaff, if you will. And so that's why this request is being made. And it's been working quite well so far.
It sounds like panning for gold to find that little nugget.
And it has actually borne fruit, for sure. One observer recently discovered an unusual 3-billion-year-old white dwarf star buried in this information that was not discernible by computer.
Does a lucky discovery come with naming or at least bragging rights?
Well, that's true. You do get bragging rights on this. So once the observations are made, any subsequent research papers that are written about these objects that are identified by citizen scientist observers also carry the name of the citizen scientist as an author for the paper.
From sleuthing to sailing, take us next to a galactic stream.
I'll bet many people did not realize that there are rivers or streams of stars in our own Milky Way galaxy, but let's set this in the real context. Hopefully, most people have a good idea of what our galaxy is like. Its structure is sort of like that of a plate in which we have a flat disk of material, stars, nebulae, gas, dust, all those things that are part of the galaxy, all swirling around in a rotating disk. Well, accompanying our galaxy as it travels through the universe with its group of attendant buddy galaxies, if you will, our galaxy also has globular clusters and some dwarf galaxies that travel along with it. Gravitational pull causes tidal forces that sometimes pull these globules of stars out into streams, which are referred to as stellar streams. And how the gravitational pull of the galaxy affects them will help us understand how our galaxy itself is rotating and in what direction it's moving.
Okay, for our next task, we're going to get out of the boat and don LOFARs.
Yes, if only we could don LOFARs to help us, but these unfortunately are earthbound and probably not the right size ones for us. The LOFARs that you speak of actually are low-frequency radio telescope arrays. And the cool thing about this is these low-frequency detectors actually can identify galaxies out in the universe that heretofore have not been identified because they're not in the visual spectrum. So now, using these LOFAR telescopes, most of them, by the way, are located in the northern Netherlands and in adjacent countries around northern Europe, astronomers have been able to detect hundreds of thousands of galaxies that were unknown before. It's only looked at 25% of the sky. And this data only represents 10% of that 25% of sky. So there's a lot more survey to be done around the rest of the sky. And if this is any indication of what's turning up, well, I think we're going to end up with lots more galaxies than we expected. It just seems as if the universe is chock full of galaxies, either visible or non-visible.
Let's come back to Earth and describe what's visible to be seen just walking out of doors on a clear night.
Far easier than those distant denizens of the universe, we have beautiful planets. In the pre-dawn sky, Wednesday through Saturday morning next week, from 5:45 to 6 a.m., a waning crescent moon will slide past Jupiter, then Saturn, then brilliant Venus, in that order. So if you start out on Wednesday, we'll be close to Jupiter, and then slide down toward Venus by Saturday morning. Mars is still very high in the west-southwestern sky in the evening after sunset and is stunningly bright for Mars, so it's very easy to see without optical aid or a telescope, and it has that nice, lovely rosy color. Don't forget, stars twinkle, but planets don't. That will help you identify Mars.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.